in our minds to receive the word. Lord, that we would take this word, not just listen to it now, but Lord, that we would think about it, we would meditate upon it, and we would lay it deep in the recesses of our heart. And we lift up Pastor John to you, Lord, and we pray your anointing upon him as he brings forth from your holy word. Father, we receive it. We thank you for it. We ask now your blessing upon him. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, over the past couple of months, if you've been here at all, you know that we've been talking about getting closer to God. We know that God wants us to have a close personal relationship with him. That's what he's looking for. In Revelation 3:20, he says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Now, when God says he wants to come over for dinner, he has a reason for that. That means that he wants to spend time with us. He's saying, "Hey, I'm here, man. I'm at your door. I'm knocking. I'd like to come in and sit down and have dinner with you and get to know you." And, you know, that what better thing could there be than spending time getting to know God? Hebrews 10:22 tells us, "Let us draw near to God." What could be better than getting close to him, getting near to him, and really beginning to get to know God? Paul understood this. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." God has put inside of us a spiritual hunger, something that can't be satisfied by anything else. And Jesus said in John 6:35 that "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now, I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. It's like, you know, middle of the night or in the evening, you know, you're getting a little bit of hunger feelings, and you go and you stand in front of the refrigerator and you're just looking like, what looks good? What do I want to eat? Sometimes you find something, sometimes you get frustrated because there's nothing there, but you take something anyway, right? And you eat because you just got this gnawing that's telling you, I want something. And God is saying that there's a spiritual hunger like that that he's put in us. And instead of standing in front of the refrigerator, we look all across the world, all over the place, and try to get our fill from this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing. A lot of junk food, a lot of stuff that we don't need. When he says, "Taste and see that he is good, that he is the bread of life." You know, and if we go to him, we will never be hungry. If we go to him, we will never be thirsty. We go to those other things, it will not satisfy. We've seen that God wants us to slow down and get still before him. "Be still and know that I am God," according to Psalm 46:10. When we do that, what happens then is the world loses its seductive power over us. When we get into the presence of God, when we're in his presence, and we look out and we see those other things that at other times would draw us in and seduce us, when we're with God, we look at him and we say, we see it. The veil is gone. We see it for what it is, and it just doesn't have that power over us. God wants us to get still before him so we can know him for who he is, sovereign God. Psalm 135, verse 6, "The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and in all their depths." Revelations 1:8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Lord Almighty." He is sovereign. Today I want to talk about the fact that if we want to draw closer to God, we're going to have to be forceful in our pursuit of him. I was thinking when Donna was up here talking about how she started saying, you know, we have to fight. We have to, you know, not give up. We have to fight for those things that God has told us, those things that we know that God wants us to do. And it's true. We have to fight. We have to be forceful in the things that God has called us to do in our pursuit of him. Being a wimpy, half-baked, part-time, lackadaisical Christian will never get us to the place we want to be with Jesus. It doesn't work. Most of the time we see Christians portrayed in movies and in TV shows or any of the worldly culture, any time we see it out there in the world, they always portray Christians as wimpy or bigoted or hypocritical or backwards or naive or out of touch with reality. That's the way they want us to look so that people will not be tempted to come into our camp. You know, if you see a campground out there, and you know, like maybe you like to visit different people at their tents, but if you see a group over there and everybody told you they have the plague, that they're, you know, psychopaths, that they're, you know, that they're thieves, that they're liars, I mean, you're going to avoid that camp, right? Well, that's the way they try to treat us as Christians. We're the last unprotected class on this earth. Everybody seems like can use us for target practice. We're fair game. Unfortunately, many who claim to be Christians only have a sort of a half-hearted commitment to Christ, and those who are just nominal, they won't stand against this worldly view of Christianity, and they won't stand up for Christ. They just let it pass. That's not that big of a deal because they don't have much invested in Christianity. They don't have much invested in Christ. And so when people cut it down, they don't lose much. If I have an investment and I've got my whole life savings in there, all my IRAs or whatever you got, pension stuff, and it's all in one investment, and that investment tanks, and you're getting ready to retire, you're going to be in bad shape. But if you only had $50 in there and you got $100,000 somewhere else, you're not going to worry about $50. Well, if we only got that much invested in our Christianity, when people cut it down, we're not going to worry about it. And so we have all these people in our land who claim to be Christians. 80% of this country claims to be a Christian. Do you find 80% around you that are Christian? No, I don't either. But they just feel like, I believe in God, so I'm a Christian. That's pretty much the worldly standard of being a Christian. I believe in God. But that's not what it means to be a Christian. Our job is to be forceful in the pursuit of God and His kingdom. We have a tremendous example in our leader, Jesus. Jesus was not a wimp when he walked on this earth. He stood up and spoke and even taught the Jewish leaders when he was only 12 years old in the temple. He recruited men from the fishermen, from, you know, a rough and tumble trade. He convinced them in many different ways to come and join him. He wandered in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights without food, and then battled the devil and beat him. He confronted the money changers and he threw them out of the temple. He went forward to offer himself up to the Roman soldiers and said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus." He said, "I'm Jesus. I've been teaching all around. Why, what are you waiting for? I'm Jesus. Here I am." He confronted the high priest. He confronted Pilate, Herod, and others with no fear and no shame. He accepted the most difficult job ever given. Not just going to the cross, but it included going to the cross, the whipping, the beating, the thorns, all that. But that was just a prelude to the biggest job, which was taking on the sins of billions upon billions of people, all on his shoulders, and suffering the punishment for all of our sin. Was he a wimp? Hardly. He was the bravest man, the bravest, most moral, most forceful, passionate, courageous man that ever walked on the face of this earth. And you know what? Now he wants to live his life through us. He wants to continue that same life through us as he lives in us. He wants us to have a life of power and passion and energy, courage and victory through him. To do that, we have to be forcefully pursuing God and his kingdom. We have to cut through all the stuff that's going to get in our way. We're going to have to go beyond ourselves, past this self, to truly live for him. And to do this, we're going to have to draw near to God. We're going to have to get close to him, to know him, to know his will, to know his ways, to gain his strength, to be filled by his Spirit. It's never going to happen if we're fearful or lazy or wimpy or unmotivated. That's why God tells us in Matthew 11:12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men will lay hold of it. Luke 16:16 says, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. But since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. God knows that to get into the kingdom, to get through this earth, is going to take work. There needs to be a force behind us. There needs to be power as we move in this. We know that the Holy Spirit gives us power to be witnesses for Christ. We know that we've been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've been given armor to wear so that we can stand in the day of battle. We're told that we're supposed to fight the good fight. We're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That sounds forceful to me. We're also told in Romans 8:31-39, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. We have to be forceful. For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, you start reading all that stuff, you get the picture of what I'm talking about? About having to be forceful? When I read these scriptures, and there are many others like them, it becomes clear to me that God doesn't want us hiding and cowering in a corner. Instead, he's expecting us to be proudly proclaiming the truth that he died for, the gospel, the good news, his word, and he wants us to be the light that he created us to be. Not in our own might, not in our own power, but through the power of his Holy Spirit. Powerful, strong, forceful. Does this mean we round up the people off the street, throw them in the back of a van, and drag them off to church? We're going to abduct people, kidnap them, force them to become Christians? I don't think so. That would never work. And it's not God's way. We're not going to force Jesus down anyone's throat. So what does it mean to be forceful? I want to take a look at what it means to be forceful in this context that we're talking about here, so we can see exactly what God is trying to teach us. Now, here's a list. To be forceful means to be energetic, giving our full energy to those things that we believe to be true, being earnest. You know, going, really going for it and working hard and with a pure motive and a strong motive, being earnest in what we're doing. Tenacious, not giving up. Persistent, going at it again and again and again, like the widow, the persistent widow. Courageous, be strong and courageous, be bold and courageous. We're told over and over to be encouraged. Aggressive. Not just waiting and waiting for someone to tell us to do something, but getting out there. Going after it for God. Taking the initiative. Doing it on our own. Just doing it. Not always having to wait for someone to call us up. Hey, you going to church today? Hey, you're going to go to that meeting today? Hey, do you want to go out and, maybe witness? Or do you want to go out and do this or do that for God? No, but taking the initiative. Maybe we'll be the one that does the calling. Overcoming, not giving in, not giving up, but overcoming those things that get in our way. Pressing on. Paul calls it pressing on, going forward and pressing on towards the mark of our high calling. Relentless, over and over, just keep coming back like a fighter. He just keeps coming at him. He's coming again. There's another and another and another and another. And he's relentless. Bold. Not being shy or afraid. Desperate. I'm going to do this if it kills me. I'm not giving up. Intense. Really getting into it. I'm going for the Lord. Going forward despite the opposition. I don't care who comes against me or what comes against me. Now, if you add all those up, that's what I'm talking about. When I say that forceful people will forcefully lay hold of the kingdom of God, and that we need to be forceful in our pursuit of God, in drawing close to God, in seeking God, in seeking His kingdom, all those things, that's all part of what I'm talking about here. So we get the picture. These traits will push us past being a mediocre Christian. They'll push us out of that mediocrity, that mediocre life, and into the realm of all things are possible with God. Isn't that where you want to be? All of these traits could be used to describe Jesus, every one of them. And now we have been called to be His hands, to be His feet, to be His mouthpiece here on this earth. We're growing day by day into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's called us to live in Him. In Him we move and live and move and have our being, in Christ Jesus. He wants, His Holy Spirit inside of us to propel us into being like Him on this earth and to doing what He would do on this earth. Remember, in each and every situation that we find ourselves in, God is there. His power is there. And all that He asks of us, because I know some of you are thinking, well, I can't do all that. That's just not me. You know what? It's not. It's not me. It's not you. It's not any of us. But His power is there. His Holy Spirit is there behind that, behind us. And He asks us to step forward and use whatever He has given us to the best of our ability. Nothing more and nothing less. Remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. There was a man who was going on a journey and he gave one of his servants 5 talents. He gave another one 2 talents, and a third servant he gave 1 talent, according, it says, to his ability. He knew that the guy with 5 could handle that. He'll invest it, he'll work it, he'll start a business, he'll do something, and he'll make more money out of it. The one who gave 2, he wasn't quite as, you know, maybe quite as aggressive, quite as forceful, quite as this, that, but he still had an ability to do 2 and to work through that. And then he had another one that he gave 1 talent to, and this guy maybe wasn't quite as, you know, gifted in that area, but he could still take that 1 talent, and God knew he could use it to build something from it. Well, the man with 5 talents doubled his and he brought back 10. The man with 2 talents doubled his and brought back 4. But the man with 1 talent, he was afraid of this man, of his master. And so what he did is he went out and buried the money. When the master returned, he went and dug it up and gave it back to him. He said, I was afraid. I didn't want to lose it. I didn't want to use it. So here it is. Here it is back. Everything you gave me, I never used it. So here it is. Well, the first 2 men who used the money to gain more were commended and were given even more to do for the master because they were faithful in what they were given. But the third man was afraid to lose the money, and so he didn't gain any more. And then he was not commended. In fact, this is what the master said. You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I could at least have received it back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10, for whoever has will be given more, and they will have it in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Man, I don't want to be that one. Does anybody here want to be the one with the 1 talent and go out and bury it? I don't think so. And none of us have been called to be that person. This guy was afraid to take a chance. Afraid to step out. Afraid to do what God had called him to do. Afraid to use his abilities, the abilities that God had given him. He didn't even want to bother with the simple act of putting the money in a bank. That was too much work. So he just goes out in the yard and buries it. God knew exactly what he was capable of doing. God knew that he could actually work that talent. It was about $1,000, maybe a little over $1,000 or so. God knew that he could have used that and done something with it. But he didn't even try. He wasn't trying to please his master. He had no relationship with him, no understanding of what he wanted. He didn't know him well enough to love him. He didn't have that relationship. Because if he really loved him, he would have tried to please him. But he didn't. He didn't know what his master's desires were. Or didn't care. Maybe just didn't care. So God is calling us to step out of our comfort zones and forcefully seek him. Forcefully seek his kingdom. Pushing through all the distractions, all the obstacles, so that we can learn how to get close to him. So that we can learn how to advance the kingdom, to honor him. God's word tells us that we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Basically, we have to have the mindset that we are entering a battle, because it is a battle, that we're going to war. We have to determine in our heart that nothing is going to stop me from getting close to God. Nothing. Nothing is going to stop me from getting nearer to God. Nothing. It's going to take work. Others may come against us. Situations are going to rise up against us. Obstacles will be in our path. It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. And we're going to have to use our abilities. Oh my gosh, we're going to have to work a little bit. But through Christ, we can have the victory. Deuteronomy 1:30 says, "The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you." Chapter 20, verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." God didn't make us to be overcome by evil. That was never His intention. In fact, He has called us to overcome evil with good. We're the good guys. We wear the white hats. But it does take work. That's why it's called the good fight. The good fight. That's why it's the forceful men and women who will be successful in this quest to get close to God and to seek first His kingdom and to walk in victory. It's only going to happen if we are forceful. All those words I talked about before are part of that forcefulness. Remember in the book of Acts, we saw that Paul and others were eagerly, energetically, forcefully living their lives to the fullest as Christians. They were always looking to make the most of every opportunity to share the good news of the gospel and to take more ground for the kingdom of God. They were forcing their way. They were forcing, you know, going outward and forcing the expansion of the kingdom. In Acts 16:20, they were accused of throwing the city into an uproar. Do you think they cared? They were happy. In Acts 17:6, they were accused of causing trouble all over the world because they were saying there was another king and his name was Jesus. They had their opportunities to step out boldly and forcefully for the sake of the gospel. And they did it. You know what? We have our opportunities too. Every day, we have opportunities. Some small, some seemingly insignificant, as far as we can tell. But we never know the long-term implications of that little ripple in the pond. Some of them, those opportunities might seem a little bit bigger, and we got to push ourselves. Some of them might seem awesome, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? But we take the plunge because if God put it on our heart to do it, God's going to back us up. We're going to have opportunities to be that light, to be that salt, to be that faithful servant who uses whatever our Master has given us for His purposes. When we do step out like that, what happens is we give God a chance to work in our lives. We give Him the opportunity to build us up, to transform us, to mold us, to make us into His image. Every time we listen to Him, every time we listen to the Spirit of God inside of us, when we are led by the Spirit, we grow. We are transformed. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters of God, the children of God. We give God a chance to mature us. Because when we go through those things, the things that we feel, especially the ones that we feel afraid to do, when we face that obstacle, when we face that, you know, that opportunity and we're afraid, those are the best times. We may not think so at the moment, but every time we go beyond ourselves and we take that chance and we go out there, we give God an opportunity to do another miracle in our life. And the miracle may not be what we tried to do for that person or in that situation. The miracle is what happens in us. That we stepped out, that we went beyond ourselves. It's like when we go on the mission trip. You know, we do a great job when we go down to Mexico. We do a lot of good things down there. But you know what? The real transformation, the real miracle, the real lives that are touched are our people that are going. As much as they give and as much as they do, and as much as they bless the church down in Mexico, those who are giving are going to get more back. And when we go out and we take those opportunities for God and we give ourselves, every time we do one of those things and we overcome one of those obstacles and we step out in faith in one of those areas, we grow more. We are blessed more. We are transformed more. And greater things happen in us. We mature. We grow into the image of God because we're doing what He would have us do. And what happens then is God proves over and over again how much He loves us. And He shows us once again that He has not left us and He will not forsake us. Next week, I'm going to continue this message. I had too much to do today. So next week, I'm going to continue this message and I'm going to look at those areas that we can be forceful in. And some of those, you know, those the things that we can do that we can where we can be strengthened, where we can go out and be forceful in our life to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And we're going to see how we can have victory in those areas. Victory in all those areas so that we can hear these very important words from our Lord. The same words that He showed or He spoke to those faithful servants that did the job that He gave them to do when he gave them those talents and they used them for His glory. I don't know if you remember this, but this is what He said. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things, so I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Wouldn't that be a great place to be? It is a great place to be. We don't have to think of it as a pipe dream. We don't have to think of that as happening only when we get to heaven. Of course, we want it. We want to get to heaven and hear those words there. But you know what? Right here, right now on this earth, God is so pleased with us when we step out. We step out forcefully. We step out eagerly and optimistically. We take those opportunities and He's looking at us and He's saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in those little things, so now I'm going to give you even more. I'm going to bless you then even more." And He's going to say, "Come on now, I want you to share in my happiness." You know what? Because He is happy when we are faithful. He is happy when we are forceful. God is blessed when we do what He's called us to do. When we do what He's made us to do. We can bless God. We can make God happy. We can make our Father proud when we step out, make the most of that opportunity, and do all that God has called us to do. Knowing all the time that it's God Himself through His Holy Spirit that's actually empowering us and making us able to do it. So really, it just boils down to one word, obedience. Just getting out there and doing it. Trusting God that He'll back us up. Just doing it. Take the little check mark. Just do it. Right? All right, so we're going to close now. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Part two next week. Maybe you are one that wants to be more forceful. You want to be more aggressive for God. Not for our own flesh, but for God. You want to be more energetic, more earnest, bolder for God, for the things of God. Sometimes we step out in faith and we just ask God, God, let your anointing fall on me. You know, and that's why we have prayer up here. This is not to come up for counseling. It's to come up to receive a touch from God. They're vessels to be used by God. And it's our step of faith that when we come up that makes the difference. It's not that any one person here has something he's holding and he's just ready to give it to you when you come up. It's the touch of God. It's I come up in faith to receive, they pray in faith to give. And something wonderful happens inside of us. So let's go before God and pray. Father, we do thank you. We thank you so much for bringing us into your kingdom, bringing us into your family, for being our Father. We thank you that you love us so much that you give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to do what is right, to serve you, to step out with boldness, to be forceful in doing your will. God, help us. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon us as a people, Lord God, that we would step up and step out to do your will. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon the prayer team up here, Lord God, and upon each one of us as we receive from you today. Lord, I pray that this message would just sink into our hearts and speak to us throughout the week, to all those who hear it, Lord God. We thank you. Lord, I pray your blessing on each person here. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.